We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Mankind has been guilty of committing so many horrible crimes that one is hardly amazed at what one hears regarding our crimes today. From time almost immemorial, we have been guilty of stealing from one another, corrupting one another morally, and murdering one another. Here in the United States, we have almost become accustomed to hearing the news of murder, suicide, and of hearing of multiple murders. These are so common that we hardly flinch when the gory details are reported by the media. And about the only time we become afraid or outraged by such hideous and heinous things as multiple murders is when it happens in our own home communities. Such crimes are dark blots on our character and on our community life. Yet, the foulest crime ever perpetrated by evil men was the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus Christ. Yet, this crime, committed by the wicked hands of the leaders of the Jews of that time, resulted, because God planned it, should be so, in the salvation of everyone who has ever come to Christ by an obedient faith. But when one thinks that mankind has the capacity to murder our own Creator, one can only shudder at the depth to which we have sunk in sin. A question that we've been asked on several occasions, especially by children, is why men would crucify the very Son of God? Of course, the ultimate answer to their question must be that Jesus died upon the cross because of sin. The Apostle Peter told the Jews on the day of Pentecost that they had with wicked hands crucified the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead. Acts 2 and verse 23. Sin was involved in that act of the lawless crucifixion of Jesus. But sin also brought this act about. So let us study at least some of the sins that were involved in the crucifixion of our Master. The first sin that we wish to consider today that brought about the murder or crucifixion of Jesus was ignorance on the part of those who demanded his death. The Jews spent a great deal of time studying and copying the Old Testament scriptures, yet for all that, they were ignorant. That is, they lacked knowledge and understanding of the mission of the Messiah. Jesus himself called this to their attention when they came to him with the preposterous hypothetical case of the woman who had seven brothers to be her husbands, each one of which died leaving her childless. They wanted to know whose husband she would be in the judgment. Jesus told them that they had erred, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. Matthew 22:23-33. And so ignorance of the Scriptures was a major sin of the people in the days of Jesus. When Jesus was hanging upon the cross, the first thing that he did was to pray for his enemies. His prayer was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus did not mean to imply that these people did not know that they were putting someone to death. What he meant was that they did not know the enormity of what they were doing, in that they were crucifying the very Son of God. If they had known the Scriptures and understood them, they would not have been ignorant of what they were doing. Furthermore, Peter, when he was preaching his famous sermon on the porch of the temple, which sermon is recorded in Acts 3, he said, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers." Acts 3 and verse 17. A second sin that was involved in the crucifixion of our Lord was the love of money. Judas Iscariot was a man who was greedy for money. He was a man who loved money more than he loved the Savior, with whom he had lived and worked for 3.5 years. Matthew records that Judas went to the Jewish authorities and asked them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you?" Well, the Bible records that they made an agreement with him that they would give him 30 pieces of silver, which was the average price of a slave in those days. The Bible further records that From that time he sought opportunity to betray him, that is, Jesus, Matthew 26:14-16. Someone has observed that every man has his price, but we don't know what it is. That may have a great deal of truth in it, but we know what the price was that Judas would take for the life of Jesus. Jesus was sold for the common price of a slave, because Judas Iscariot cared more for money and the things that it would buy than for the life of Christ and the salvation of his own immortal soul. How utterly tragic this is. Yet, it must be observed that people have always done, and even now will do almost anything for money. They will kill other people. They will sell their bodies in the most degrading acts of sin and vice. They will gamble, extort, lie, steal, cheat, embezzle, counterfeit, rob, and plunder for this medium of exchange that we call money. It would seem that there is no act too heinous, no crime too grotesque, no level to which we will not stoop in order to obtain money. We believe that no one has ever sunk deeper in the quagmire of sin for money than did the infamous Judas when he betrayed our Lord. Well, the root of all evil, you see, is the love of money. A third sin that was involved in the crucifixion of our Savior was envy. Envy is a deep feeling of resentment or hatred toward someone, generally someone who has something such as a standard of living that we cannot have. But envy may come upon us because we are not handsome or beautiful or popular or for any number of other reasons. In the case of the leaders of the Jews, their envy no doubt developed because they feared that Jesus was taking away from them the reins of leadership because of his popularity with the common people. Matthew 21:15 indicates that this is true. In this passage, it is recorded that when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Envy is that characteristic that would make someone indignant because someone else is being praised. Furthermore, Matthew revealed in chapter 27 and verse 18 that Pilate knew that it was because of envy that the Jews had delivered Jesus to him, insisting that Pilate put him to death. Some of the worst deeds ever done by the members of the human family have been done because of envy. With hearts filled with envy, men have attempted to destroy the character and reputation of one of their fellow creatures. We have come to hate one another without cause. We have fought and killed, and some have even died because of this sin. It is one that we should fight to put out of our hearts and minds. The Apostle Peter has specifically commanded that we put it out of our lives. He said, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking." We cannot be filled with this terrible spiritual disease and not risk it costing us heaven. We need to remember that one reason that the leaders of the Jewish people planned and demanded the death of our innocent Lord was because their hearts were filled with envy toward him. Let us never be guilty of being overwhelmed by this attitude, because it was one of the sins that crucified Jesus. A fourth sin that was involved in this ignominious death of Jesus of Nazareth was lying. One lies when he tells a falsehood or misrepresents the truth for the purpose of deceiving someone. Matthew records in chapter 26 and verse 61 that at last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" These people added to the words of Jesus. Jesus did not say that he was able to destroy the temple of God in Jerusalem. He said, "You destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." John said that Jesus spoke this concerning the temple of his body, John 2:19-22. After the resurrection of Christ, his disciples understood the meaning of his words. But because our Lord's enemies were bound to bring some charge that they considered worthy of death against Jesus, they had witnesses commit perjury and twist the words of Jesus so as to make it appear that he was threatening to destroy the temple it had taken 46 years to build. Thus, they lied, and that lie helped to nail Jesus to the cross. Lying takes many forms and is very common in our society today. Some lies are, of course, unintentional because they result from a lack of knowledge or full information. But many others are intentional and are told for the express purpose of deceiving others, so that we will not be accountable to them, or so that we can obtain something through this fraudulent means. Lies are often told in the most intimate of all relationships, the family relationship. We lie against one another, and we lie for one another. How much better our society would be if we would stop practicing the sin that crucified Jesus. Can you imagine how wonderful our lives would be if we each would put away lying and everyone speak truth to his neighbor? Well, our Lord, through his apostle, commanded us to do that. And Jesus certainly knows what pain can result from those who lie. Why not this day become simply a Christian? We encourage you to do that by doing no more, no less than what the Bible directs you to do through the commandments of Jesus. Jesus said, except you repent, you all likewise perish. But before one changes his mind or his heart, he has to believe with all of his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All one has to do is study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can find out a lot of things about Jesus of Nazareth. If you believe, then, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then turn from sin. That's hard to do, because it means that we must admit that we have sinned, we have transgressed God's law. Change our mind and our heart to serve the Lord. And then we are to acknowledge with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33 expresses this very thought. And not only that, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but also it mentions denying him. If we deny him, he will deny us before his Father who is in heaven. If we confess him, he will confess us before his Father who is in heaven. And then, finally, one must be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of one's sins. Acts 2:38. Will you permit us, even this day, to help you in your becoming a Christian? We'd be more than happy to assist you in your obedience to Jesus Christ. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and again, there are classes for every age group. We encourage you to study your Bibles daily to see whether or not these things are so. Acts 17:11. Until next week, as we bring to you another lesson on words of truth, we bid you a good day.